Candidates for Haines' next superintendent arrive in town tomorrow morning, and the Skagway Assembly adopts zoning regulations for marijuana businesses. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. There's been another shuffle in the search for Haines School District's next superintendent. Finalist Connie Newman withdrew from the running after accepting a job elsewhere. Newman is currently superintendent of the Pribilof Island School District. She was bumped into the top three when Montana educator Tony Yeris withdrew his candidacy this month. The two other finalists are Robin Gray of Yakutat School District and Anthony Habra of Pawpaw Public Schools in Michigan. Gray and Habra are traveling to Haines this week for in-person interviews and meetings with community members and school staff. They'll arrive in Haines tomorrow morning, along with consultants from the Alaska Association of School Boards, which conducted the search. The candidates will meet with administrators, teachers, and school government on Tuesday. At 7 p.m., they'll take part in a community meet-and-greet. Members of the public will have the opportunity to write comments about the candidates, which the school board will take into consideration. On Wednesday, the board will interview Gray and Habra individually between 9 a.m. and noon. Those interviews are open to the public. At 1 p.m., the board will move into a closed-door session to deliberate until they're ready to make a decision. At a meeting last week, the Skagway Borough Assembly adopted zoning regulations for marijuana businesses. KHNS's Emily Files has the details.
The code changes classify in which zoning districts marijuana businesses are allowed. Planning and Zoning Commission Chair Orion Hansen said the planners wanted to err on the side of conditional use in most areas. That means someone hoping to start a marijuana-related establishment would need to apply to the Planning Commission for a conditional use permit. The four types of marijuana establishments the code addresses are retail, cultivation, product manufacturing, and testing facilities. The only area where all pot businesses are prohibited is the waterfront district. The areas they are conditionally permitted in are residential conservation, residential low density, business general, and business historic. In residential general areas, indoor cultivation and product manufacturing and testing facilities are conditionally permitted. Retail and outdoor cultivation facilities are not allowed. The zones with the most relaxed restrictions are industrial and industrial light. In industrial areas, cultivation, manufacturing, and testing businesses are allowed without a permit. Only retail facilities are conditionally permitted. For industrial light, retail and cultivation are the only two types of businesses that need conditional use permits. The Assembly unanimously approved the zoning changes. The members agreed that the waterfront should be off limits, but other areas shouldn't put strict limits on the new market of legalized marijuana. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Teams from Haines and Skagway made their mark at the statewide drama debate and forensics competition over the weekend in Anchorage. The Haines Glacier Bards had two pieces in the final events. Taya Ruggerello and Shishao White's duet acting piece made it through, as well as Ruggerello's humorous interpretation. White and Ruggerello won a second place for the duet acting, while Ruggerello's humorous interpretation came sixth. Kai Hayes' dramatic interpretation missed the finals by just 1 point, garnering a 13th place finish out of 33 competitors. White and Ruggerello's duo interpretation also had a near miss heading into the finals. That piece finished 7th out of 26. Bard's coach, Amanda Randalls, said last year the group only had one piece in the semifinals and none in the finals. The year before that, no appearances in the finals or semis. Hundreds of students in grades 9 through 12 from 24 schools across the state competed in the three-day event. We're still waiting for results from the Skagway crew, so stay tuned to KHNS later this week for more information on the statewide DDF tournament. For seniors in Southeast, healthcare and housing options are limited, but a couple of adult day programs are offering relief for care providers, families, and friends. They're often a stopgap solution until space opens up in a home. As part of the Coast Alaska and KHNS series Aging Southeast, KTOO's Elizabeth Jenkins explains there's a long way to go, but some seniors are receiving help in surprising ways.
At Juneau's Bridge Adult Day program, it isn't all bingo and reruns of Lawrence Welk. Kelsey Wood, the program's supervisor, says the aging adults go on field trips. They play Nintendo Wii. Virtual bowling is a favorite. And they do what some might describe as contemporary exercises.
There's some leg movements that go to it. There's like a stanky leg thing or something like that. They're like, this is how people dance now? Like, yeah, this is a big fad right now. And they were telling us about, oh, well, we remember when the twist was popular.
Wood says, like a lot of things at Bridge, the exercises can be adapted for seniors with limited mobility. And the same thoughtfulness is given to people with memory loss. Most of the Bridge's clients are experiencing some form of that.
Let me help you arrange your cards back here for strategy.
Yeah, good. So
it,
I need help.
It helps if you put all the suits together.
This morning, Wood is helping Beth Fletcher play her best game of 7-Up. But it's not a typical day. Later, there's a party planned in celebration of Wood's wedding. And after a few minutes playing cards, Fletcher is throwing down winning hands.
Oh, a six.
Yeah, that's something. Well, that doesn't help me at all.
Oh, how about a five?
It's an activity she's nostalgic for. She grew up playing Buck Euchre with her siblings in Minnesota and says she loves the attention she gets from Wood.
My memory isn't very good, you know. I'm 90-something, so I can't remember a lot of what I did when I retired. When I was young, I rode horseback. Before I could walk, I rode horseback. But anyway, I had a great life.
Fletcher comes to the Bridge 4 times a week. The difference between a program like this and a nursing home or assisted living facility is she goes home to family at the end of the day. And for some seniors, that's the best option.
For folks that are waiting to get into a Pioneer home or waiting to get into a nursing level care, and it fills that gap.
Depending on the location, state-run Pioneers homes screen applicants on application and other criteria. In Juneau, it's first come, first serve. In Sitka, it's based on date and level of care. Still, the wait can sometimes be years before a space opens up. And Juneau's Wildflower Court, which is a nursing home, doesn't admit clients based on memory loss alone. So are there enough adult day programs to help fill the gap in Southeast?
No, there are not.
That's Marianne Mills, the director of Southeast Senior Services.
In fact, a couple years ago, we worked with Center for Community to submit a proposal to Alaska Health and Social Services for a program in Sitka.
There's only a few formalized adult day programs in the region, like Ketchikan's Rendezvous Senior Day Service. The grant intended for Sitka wound up going to the Matsu Valley.
And, of course, right now with Alaska's fiscal crisis, getting state general funds to start such a program is probably not going to happen in the immediate future.
Mills says keeping the doors open for adult day programs saves money when you consider the alternative. Remember, most of the people at the Bridge have some form of memory loss, which could mean expensive full-time care. So for those who do stay at home, Mills thinks the time to socialize is important.
Sometimes not the natural way to be. A lot of people tend to isolate when they get older, but that's the exact opposite of what they should be doing if they want to live a long, independent life for as long as possible.
Back at the Bridge, the cozy living room atmosphere has been transformed into a pretend wedding. The seniors wear frilly corsages and sip sparkling grape juice. And after a while, Wood and her fiancé are ready. She's wearing jeans, clutching a bouquet made out of sparkling brooches, the one she'll carry on her actual wedding day. Deanne Grummet and her 78-year-old husband are looking on. Grummet brings him to Bridge 4 days a week.
You know, I pop in and out at different times, and they're always engaged in an activity. They're not just sitting around staring at the walls.
Both Grummet and her spouse are on the wait list for the Pioneers home, but she wants to keep him with her as long as she can. She says the Bridge plays a crucial role in helping her do that.
At this point for us, it's much better than even in-home services because my husband has reached the point where he can't plan and carry out his own social life, and he needs a social life.
She says when she drops her husband off in the morning, and if he's in a not-so-great mood, he's always feeling better by the end of the day. In Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.
Our Aging Southeast series also takes a look at assisted living, pioneers, and multi-generational homes. Check out those and other reports from the series at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening, and thank you for supporting community radio in the Upper Lynn Canal. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.